Coming up on the holiday of Purim, and this evening being Rosh Chodesh Adar, it is an opportunity for us to start getting into the spirit of some of the mitzvahs hayom, some of the obligations that we have when Purim comes along. So one of the most primary obligations that we have is Mishloach Manos. We have an obligation to send Shalach Manos to our friends. Where does this come from? So at the very end of Megillas Esther, after the decree of Haman was lifted, and after the Jewish people were saved, they go into a great celebratory mood, and the way that they highlight that celebration is what the pasuk says at the end of the Megillah. Va'achodesh asher nepach lahem yagon l'simcha me'eva l'yamtov, lasos hosam yimei mishte v'simcha. They had decided that there's going to be three components to the celebration that they were going to make. Number one, they were going to make this day, they were going to institute that it should be yimei mishte v'simcha, a day of great celebration by having a big seuda. Number two, says the pasuk, mishlach manos ish l're'ehu. And number three, umatanos le'evyonim. So here we have this three different components to the celebration that was instituted already in the times of Mordechai HaTzadik of how we should commemorate the tremendous miracle of the Purim story. So number one, again, we said Mishta v'Simcha, which is parallel to what we find by every other Yomtiv, that we know you have an obligation of Sudas Yomtiv. The same way the Rambam says we have a mitzvah, every Yomtiv to celebrate, and every Shabbos as well. So that is the reason why they instituted a Suda when it came to Purim as well. Number two, when it comes to Matanos Le'Avyonim, that also, in some way, is paralleled off every other Yom Tov. The Rambam writes that we have an obligation every Yom Tov to be Mesameach Lev Ha'aniyim. And the Rambam there says that a person who just observes Yom Tov and enjoys it with their own family and doesn't make time to think about the Aniyim who are needy and who don't have a place to celebrate, says the Rambam, Hareza Simchas Kreso, you're missing out on what the whole celebration is supposed to be about. It's not just about eating and drinking and enjoying our families, it's about spreading the wealth and about inviting and engaging others who unfortunately do not have that opportunity. So number one, Sudas Purim is the same as the Sudas Yom Tov that we normally have an obligation to have. Mishloach Manos seems to be in some way parallel to what the Rambam writes, every other Yom Tov we need to do as well. Now, the third thing that we find here is Matanos Le'Avyonim, and that is we have an obligation Mishloach Manos. And that's something that we're going to have to talk about. What exactly is the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos all about? One basic question that I'm asked every year, and I'm happy that somebody brought it up again. I mentioned it in passing last week, but it's a very important point. The Gemara says, a rule of Meseches Chagiga Dav Zayin, Kol Davar Shebechova, Eino Ba Ela Min Achulim. When I have something that I'm obligated to spend on a mitzvah, so I cannot take, let's say I have to bring a carbon. I think the example I gave a few weeks ago is, somebody's Mechalel Shabbos, and therefore he's obligated to bring a Karban Chatas for the Chilul Shabbos B'Shogeg. He turned on the lights B'Shogeg, he has to bring a Karban Chatas. Now it just so happens to be that Sunday is a Yom Tov, and every Yom Tov we have an obligation to bring certain Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. So do I have a right to say that, well, I already had to spend $500 on the Karban Chatas that I brought because of the Chilul Shabbos, and maybe that should count for the other carbon I have to bring as well. Says the Gemara, no. You have two separate obligations. One obligation is carbon chatas for the Chilul Shabbos. Obligation number two is, you have a carbon that you need to bring every Yom Tov to the Beis HaMikdash, and you cannot think that by paying one $500 check, that is going to be able to cover both of your obligations that you have. So the Gemara says this principle, and the question is, how far does that extend? Does that mean only with regard to the laws of Kachim? Is that only with regard to karbanos, or is this something that we extend to all aspects of mitzvah observance as well? So the Ma'aril, who is really the gadol, the greatest of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and the Ramah takes many of his psakim from him, he lived in the 1300s, so the Ma'aril actually asked this question, and he says, what would the halacha be if a person wants to take matanos le'avyonim? We have an obligation on Purim to give money to poor people, so are we able to take matanos le'avyonim money from the tzedakah account that we have already set aside for our miser money? So we have an obligation to give tzedakah. We have an obligation to give miser. And we've already set that aside for a particular purpose. We've designated it for miser. Are we able to go now and take from that miser money and use it for the matanos le'avyonim? Says the Maharil, let's see what he writes. Lo nafik b'moz miser. You are not able to use the money that you have already siphoned off for the miser. Kiven de takanta de rabbanon hu. Havi davar shebechova. Because since the Torah says you have to give tzedakah, and the Chachamim now came along and said you also have a secondary obligation to give matanos le'avyonim, so you don't have the right to take the matanos le'avyonim money from what you have already separated for the tzedakah that you're going to give away. Now, make no mistake, there are two different ideas on Purim. Idea number one is you have to give two aniyim a minimal amount of money that is going to be mesameach them. How much money is that? Not so easy to really define how much money you have to give for matanos le'avyonim. Somebody just asked me yesterday, actually. She's a single girl living in Stern College, and her parents live in Woodmere, and she wanted to know if her parents give matanos le'avyonim, is that considered to be as if the whole family has fulfilled the obligation, or does she have an obligation to give on her own? The Mishnah Berurah actually talks about this question, and he says perhaps there's room to say that even a child who is under bar mitzvah, maybe they, if they have their own money, should also have an obligation to give matanos le'avyonim, which is an interesting concept. And you'll say to yourself, where do they have hundreds of dollars from? And the answer is matanos le'avyonim is not hundreds of dollars. But certainly if somebody is an adult already, you have a girl who's in college, like we just said, or you have a boy who's living outside of the house, even if he's living in the house, but he's already an adult. So certainly we would say that that person should be encouraged, writes the Mishnah Berurah, to give matanos le'avyonim on their own, just like they should be giving tzedakah on their own. So how much is matanos le'avyonim? How much do you have to give? What? So? The Mishnah Berurah talks about that. Okay, but still, the mitzvah matanos le'avyonim is every individual should give matanos le'avyonim. So here, how much money do I have to give? Reb Shlomo Zalman talks about it, and the hagdara that he gives is whatever would make an ani happy. Of course, if I gave him $1,000, he'll be really happy. But if you have the classical ani who comes collecting, and he really is an ani, and now you came and you gave him $1, so he's not so excited for $1. What if I give him $10? What if somebody walks by him and he gives him $25? That's a, wow, he struck it rich. That's not usually what happens when somebody comes knocking at your door. You don't normally give them $25. You normally give them $1 and they leave, or whatever it might be. So over here, writes, whatever. So everybody has their own standard. But over here, writes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it has to be something that would be misameach, the classical ani. So my father, many years ago, I had asked him this. He said, look, between $25 and $50 is certainly something that an ani would be happy with if somebody gave him that. Look, if you're a big multimillionaire, so then the ani wouldn't be so happy. But if you're a regular person, and an ani who you don't even know happens to come by and you give him $25, he's very happy. So that would be something that certainly we would say would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah matanos le'avyonim, as long as you gave two different aniim that amount of money, that would be misameach the ani. Anything above that, the Gemara says, kol haposhet yad nosnen lo. The Gemara says, anyone on Purim, we should have an open heart, we should be a little more giving, we should be a little more excited to give on Purim, more so than during the rest of the year. So we have the secondary concept, which is, kol haposhet yad nosnen lo. If somebody comes to me and asks for a dedication for money, so then I should give them. There, you don't have an obligation on matanos le'avyonim, that's just tzedakah. So then, that certainly you're allowed to take from the charity account, that's what it's for. But when it comes to matanos le'avyonim, that $25, $50, whatever you're going to give toward the matanos le'avyonim, in such a case, we would say that that, writes the Ma'aril, you're not allowed to take from your ma'aser money, because that is already designated for a given purpose. And the Magen Avraham quotes us la'alach and ilchas purim, and he says you should make sure that the matanos le'avyonim that you give is from your regular salary, is from your regular money that you would have spent on yourself, and you should now give it to the aniyim. Now, I'm glad that Ari mentioned this a few weeks ago when I was talking about this kind of idea. So Ari said that somebody asked after the shiur, what about shul membership? And that's a very good question. Am I able to pay my shul membership from my charity account that I have set aside? Was that your question? I don't remember. Somebody asked the question. And it's a very good question. And actually, one of the Acharonim discusses it, and he says, I don't understand. If you had a gym membership, or if you had a Costco membership, not that those are the same, lahavdil, but if you had a membership to a gym, would you ever think of taking it from your tzedakah account? Of course not. How could you? This is an obligation that I have because I use the service of the gym. This is an obligation that I have because I use the service of this megastore Costco, that the only way you can use their services is you happen to be a card-carrying member. If you're not, so then you don't get it. I would never be able to have a havamina to take my money from my charity account and use it toward my membership for the gym or for anything else. And therefore, the same goes over here. I have an obligation to pay my shul dues. If I want to be affiliated with the shul, I have to pay the dues that are necessary for a person to be an affiliate of that particular shul. And therefore, we assume, right, the Acharonim, that a shul membership as well would not be able to be taken from the tzedakah account, from the ma'aser money, because that is an obligation that a person has outside of the obligation of tzedakah. So now, let us get to the discussion about matanos le'avyonim. And the first question we need to ask ourselves is, what exactly is the nature of the mitzvah of matanos le'avyonim? Meaning, why is it that Matanas Lavionim was instituted? What was the impetus? What was the purpose? And why was there a reason for them to go ahead and be misaken this as one of the primary mitzvahs on Yom HaPurim? And the Trumas HaDeshen and Simon Kuf Yud Aleph, he was also one of the great Gedolim in Germany in the 1300s from the Chachmei Ashkenaz. I always understood that the Trumas HaDeshen made up his own questions and wrote his own answers. He has a sefer, Shalos HaTshuvos Trumas HaDeshen, and the Magen Avraham and the Shach and the Taz all write in Yerudea, the Magen Avraham's in Arachayim, but the Taz and the Shach all write in Yerudea, that the assumption is that the Trumas HaDeshen made up his own questions and wrote his own answers. Nothing wrong with that, it's great. But that's the story. Last week, someone just sent me a post. Did you send it to me from the Sfarim blog? Somebody wrote a whole long piece about that he proved based on, I don't know exactly how he proved, a very interesting article, that he went through a whole long research to figure out that the Trumas HaDeshen actually did not make it up, and he actually was sent to Shilas. How he proved it, I don't know. You got to go read the article. It's very interesting, but it goes against what all of the Acharonim assumed. Either way, the Trumas HaDeshen was unequivocally the great gadol of Chachmei Ashkenaz in the 1300s in Germany. And he asks, what was the reason why Matanas Levionim was instituted? Why did they think that this was such a critical component? Why didn't they say that on Purim it's imperative that everybody goes to shul and spends half the day in shul? Why would that be any different than Matanas Levionim? Where does this come from? So writes the Trumas HaDeshen, the answer is as follows. Nira, Tam de Mishloach Manos. The reason why we have a mitzvah of sending Shalach Manos on Purim is Kidei Sheyehe L'Kol Echad Dai V'Safek L'Kayim HaSe'uda Kedina. In order that we should all have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. So we have an obligation of Sudas Purim. That's where it starts. But unfortunately, some people aren't going to have enough money to pay for some meat and some wine and some salads and whatever you're going to serve. So therefore, make sure you give Shalach Manos in order that everybody's going to have a Sudas Purim. Very interesting. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, the starting point of the mitzvah of Shalach Manos is the obligation of Sudas Purim. And because we have a concern that not everyone will be able to afford it, therefore, you have to give Shalach Manos. That is going to be something that everybody's able to use. Now, how does he prove that? Can the Mashman Parakama in Maseches Megillah? Da Abaye bar Avin, Rav Chanina bar Avin, have a mechalfin sudasayu bahadadi. The Gemara says there they were both pretty poor, but they all had to have Sudas Purim. So the Gemara says that they used to switch off. I would bring my Purim Suda to you, you bring your Purim Suda to me, and we were mekayim the mitzvah of Shalach Manos. How does that work? How can you do the mitzvah of Shalach Manos by giving the Suda to you and I give yours to me? How can that work? So he says, what you see is that the whole mitzvah of Shalach Manos is that I should make sure to provide somebody with the Sudas Purim, which my father always was so, can't say upset, he doesn't really get so upset ever, but he was always agitated over the fact that now people make Shalach Manos that are all these kinds of wild, you know, ideas of what Shalach Manos are supposed to be, and very often people don't think about the fact that you actually have to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. And how are you supposed to be Mekayim the Mitzvah? You have to give something which is two edible ingredients, two edible foods that can actually be used in the Sudas Purim. That's what Shalach Manos is supposed to be. There's one person from the White Shul who brings us Shalach Manos every year, and they still come now, and I'm always amazed. They make a real Shalach Manos. This woman comes every year, Gitti Neufeld. You know Gitti Neufeld? Comes every year with something real, a fleishig Shalach Manos that I can actually eat. And it happens to be every year I'm starving because I'm driving my kids around the whole morning. Then people come to the house a little bit in the afternoon, and then until we get to the Purim Suda, it's not going to be until 4 or 5 o'clock. I always sit down at like 2 o'clock, and I actually eat Gitti Neufeld Shalach Manos. That is the Sudas Purim. It's always fleishigs. It's always edible, and she actually is Mekayim the Mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done. And she told me she grew up in Washington Heights, and Rabbi Schwab taught them the way you're supposed to give Shalach Manos, and she learned from them that that's the way it's really supposed to be done. So I'm always amazed that that's exactly what the Trumas HaDeshen says. The whole foundation of the mitzvah of Shalach Manos is that you have to give something that a person can actually use for the Sudas Purim. Now, it could be if you give a cake, so they'll use it for dessert. If you give a soup, so they can also use it for a course in the meal. It's something that can be used. A bottle of water you can use. A bottle of wine is something that's usable for the Sudas Purim. But writes the Trumas HaDeshen, your focus when giving Shalach Manos should be that at least you give to two people something that is able to be used in the actual Suda. I know my in-laws give every year cookies and soup or something. Something that's really usable. And my mother-in-law's cookies are the best of the best. So that's something that's usable. So again, this is what the Trumas HaDeshen writes. When thinking about how to give Shalach Manos, you should think about what people can actually use in a Purim Seuda, and only then have you fulfilled the mitzvah of Shalach Manos. Now, It is mukubal, it is told, yeah.
Yeah, but why are we looking for reasons for Shalach Manas and Akata? I mean, it's in the Megillah.
Right.
Why don't we just say it's because...
Right, so I think that gets back to where we started, and that is, Sudas Purim, we understand, when you're making a Yom Tov Midrabanan, and you were tasked with trying to figure out what should the day look like. Sudas Purim, I understand, it's just like every other Suda that we have on Yom Tov. So we want to pattern off Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, all have Sudas Yom Tov, so let's make a Sudas Purim. Matanas Lev Yonim, the Rambam says, every Yom Tov we have an obligation to think about the Aniyim, and to invite them into our home, and to provide for them, to make sure they're able to enjoy the Yom Tov as well. Therefore, Matanas Lev Yonim makes sense here as well. But where does Shalach Manas come from? It doesn't say you have to give Shalach Manas to a poor person, it says give Shalach Manas to your neighbors. Why? My neighbor has enough going on Purim. They don't need my Shalach Manas. So what's this all about? So the answer is, because we're concerned, not every neighbor is going to be able to have a Sudas Purim. And the answer is, if you're going to make sure to give your neighbor, and the next neighbor is going to give somebody else, so then we assume that everyone's going to be covered for the Sudas Purim, says the Trumas Hadesh, and that is why they instituted the mitzvah of Shalach Manas when it comes to Purim. Now, it is well known, and the Chasam Sofer discusses this, it is well known that the Trumas Hadeshen doesn't seem to be the only opinion. It's famously said that there's a machlokas when we talk about Shalach Manos, there's a dispute between the Trumas Hadeshen and the Manos HaLevi. Who is the Manos HaLevi? Huh? The Chadodi. Who is the Manos HaLevi? He was a Makubal in Tzfat, lived in the 1500s at the time of the Beis Yosef. His name was Reb Shlomo Alkabetz, who is better known as the one who wrote the Lechadodi. So he was a Mekubal in Tzfat, and he wrote a Sefer on Kabbalah on Megillas Esther. So it's well known that there's a machlokas, the Trumas Hadeshen and the Manas HaLevi, about why we give Shalach Manas on Purim. Trumas Hadeshen, as we mentioned, says the reason why is because we want to make sure everybody has Sudas Purim. Says Reb Shlomo Alkabetz, no. Od Hosifa, the reason why is because Mishloach Manas is Romez Kihem Ba'aguda Achas. The whole reason why Haman was able to have the upper hand is because Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzer Mefura Ben Amim. He showed that we have no unity and everyone's fighting. However, we show that on Purim we've learned from that mistake. And we say, no, we are all one, we are Ba'guda Achas, and we want to be Marbis Shalom in the community. And the way to do that is you bring over a gift to your friend. And therefore, says the Manas HaLevi, this was the reason why they instituted specifically on Purim. We don't have it anywhere else. On Purim in particular, when we were told, Yeshna Amechad Mefuzer Mefura Ben Amim, this is the reason why on Purim, the tikkun to that is that we all give Shalach Manas to show our tremendous achdus, our unity that we have. Says the Chasam Sofer, this is a dispute between the Manas HaLevi and the Trumas Hadeshen as to what the nature of the mitzvah of Shalach Manas is. Is it in order to be Marbes Shalom? Or is it in order to make sure that everybody has a Sudas Mitzvah provided for them? Writes the Chasam Sofer, this will make a major nafkamina. What happens if I go to someone's house, and I knock on the door, and I want to give them Shalach Manos, and they decline, and they say, I don't want your Shalach Manos, I hate you. Yeah? So what's the din then? What's the halacha? Would I be yotze the Mitzvah of Shalach Manos? Or perhaps not? Well, the Ramah actually talks about this. The Ramah Nochas Purim, I forgot to put it on here, writes, what is the halacha if that happens? So the Ramah says that a person is yotzei the mitzvah of Shalach Manas. Now how can that be? A guy spits in my face and says, I hate you. You're my worst enemy. I have no interest in accepting your Shalach Manas, and I don't want it. So how could it be that I'm yotzei the mitzvah of Shalach Manas? Says the Chasam Sofer. It must be, what? It must be, the Ramah says, it must be the mitzvah is not to be Marbis Shalom. It must be the mitzvah is to give Shalach Manas, to make sure they have a Purim Suda. So I go, I want to knock on your door, make sure you have a Purim Suda. You decide not to accept it, I did my mitzvah. If it's only about being Marbis Shalom, I didn't accomplish anything. I knocked on my enemy's door, I knew he was going to say no anyway. So of course, you're not Marbis Shalom. That's the way the Chasam Sofer understands this. And this is also Nogea to a discussion like this. Let's say I have something else that I give for Shalach Manas. Instead of giving food, I decide that I want to give, let's say I have a store and we sell paintings or we sell pictures or whatever. We sell all kinds of things. I have a bookstore. So I give somebody, instead of Shalach Manas, which is made up of food, I give them a few books wrapped in a gift and I say, Happy Purim, and this is the Shalach Manas. Does that work? Well, it makes somebody happy. It will certainly be Marbis Shalom. You bring books over for my kids, of course they're going to be happy. Or I give you the painting or the picture, whatever it might be, of course you're going to be happy. If it's all about just being Marbis Shalom, then books and everything else should be good enough. But if it's because we need to make sure that you have something to eat for the Purim Suda, then obviously that is not going to work. Obviously that will not be sufficient, and he will not be Mekayim the Mitzvah. So this is the way the Chasam Sofer describes it, and he explains that there's a discussion between, a disagreement between the Manos HaLevi and the Trumas HaDeshon about what is the nature of the Mitzvah of Shalach Manos. And I remember this is Girsa the Yanka, so when I was 19 years old and I was learning in the Mir Yeshiva, I heard the first time that I went to Rabbi Asher Weiss's shir, before Purim, he was discussing this issue about Mishalach Manos, and he said, you know, everybody knows the Machlok is the Manos HaLevi and Trumas HaDeshon. He said, you know, if you would knock on the door of the Manos HaLevi one day, and you would say, you know, I just want to talk to you a little bit. I have a sugya and halacha I'm dealing with. And he would say to him, you know, I'd like to talk to you about the Machlokes between you and the Trumas HaDeshon. He would say, what? Machlokes between me and the Trumas HaDeshon? What Machlokes do I have with the Trumas HaDeshon? He'd say, no, about Shalach Manos. What's the nature? He would say the Manos HaLevi would faint if he told him that. I never meant to disagree with the Trumas HaDeshon. This is a sefer on Kabbalah. This is a sefer that is written by Mekubal and Svat. It has nothing to do with what the Trumas HaDeshon said. It's an add-on. It's an additional reason. Al derech hadrash, says the Manos HaLevi. Obviously, the main reason why we give Shalach Manos is because we have a mitzvah to give Shalach Manos in order to make sure that everybody has a Purim Suda. The Manos HaLevi says there happens to be another very nice reason on Purim because we are Mufuzer Mufur Ben Amim and we want to show the Yachdus and that's what Purim's all about. And wonderful, okay, but that's not the Iker Tam. You can't make Nafkaminas LaHalacha based on the Manos HaLevi. What are you going to say? If I give Svarim to somebody for Shalach Manos, that's good enough? Of course not. The Manos HaLevi himself, Rabbi Asher Weiss argued, would agree that he himself would also adopt the opinion of the Trumas HaDeshon, and he would say that we have to make sure that we give something that is able to be used for the Purim Suda itself. And this is something that Rabbi Asher Weiss, if you look here in number Vav, he writes about and he says that he thinks that the Manos HaLevi only meant this as a derech hadrash, not a derech halacha at all, and obviously we cannot draw any conclusions from what it is that the Manos HaLevi writes. Now, this is something that the Ramah actually speaks about. The Ramah, as I mentioned before, and this is a diuk that my father mentioned to me. Listen to the lashon of the Ramah. Im shaleach manos lechaveiro. If I send a gift to my friend, vuhu eina rotza lekablan, and he doesn't want to accept it, o shemachalo, or he says, no, please don't, you don't have to. Yatza. So my father once showed me this Ramah in Ilchus Purim, and he said, what are the two examples that the Ramah gives? Example number one is, Eina rotza lekablam, he doesn't want to take it. Number two, he says, Osha machalo, or he forgives you for the shalach manos. What's the difference between those two cases? How do you understand it? One is where the guy hates me. So he says, Eina rotza, I don't want the shalach manos you're giving. I can't stand you. I never was able to stand you, so get away from me. That's number one. Case number two is shamachalo. What does that mean? Means we happen to be very good friends. I see you spend so much money in the Shalach Manos, and I say, look, my house is overloaded with Shalach Manos. Go give it to someone else. Not because I don't like you. I love you. But it's just no reason. It's a waste. Give it to someone who hasn't had anything. They'll feel good when you give it to them, better than I feel. I know we're friends. So the two cases that the Ramah gives here, and he says in both cases, yatza. In both cases, you fulfilled your obligation. So my father said to me, is it possible that the Ramah here is talking about two different cases, and the Ramah would say that really the Iker Tam, the reason why you give Shalach Manos is only because you want to be Marbis Shalom? Like we said before, the Ramah gives a case here where he says, the guy spits in your face and he says, I hate you and I don't want to accept anything from you. That's not being Marbis Shalom at all. And yet the Ramah says, you're still Yotze Yechiv. And it must be, it's clear from the Ramah, that the Ramah himself agrees that it has to be that the real fundamental reason for the Shalach Manos is in order that we should be able to have a person being provided for when it comes to the Purim Suda. There's a fascinating discussion in the Ksav Sofer, and that is obviously the son of the Chasam Sofer, lived in the 1800s, and he wants to know, what is the halacha? You know, sometimes you knock on someone's door on Purim, and they're not home. So what do? Leave it at the door. So I know what happens to me every so often. I go to people's homes, you leave it at the door, and I forgot to write a card. And I don't have a pen on me, and I don't have a piece of paper, nobody's home, so I leave it at the door anyway, let them feel like somebody, you know, cares about them. But I happen to spend time on Purim going to people who otherwise don't get Shalach Manos. I go to all the non-religious Jews on my block, who I happen to know very well, and talk to them all the time. And I also try to go to some Almanos. You know, sometimes you go to people who others would forget about. All of our friends are going to be getting Shalach Manos, and they're going to be thought about. But maybe try to think on Purim about some people that maybe others might not give some thought to, and that's a way to really do shalach manos l'mahadrin. That's the best way to do it. So over here, the Ksav Sofer writes, what happens? You come to someone's house, and they're not home. And the almana went to her children for the Purim Suda. And I always feel, you know, even if she's not going to come home till a day after Purim, but when she gets to her doorstep and she sees that five different people thought about her on Purim, that's already, it's already something to make a person feel really good. So the question here is, writes the Ksav Sofer, you leave something at the door, and it's going to make them feel good. But the bottom line is, they don't know who it came from. They don't know who it came from. So is that going to be sufficient to be mekayim the mitzvah of shalach manos, or perhaps not? And here the Ksav Sofer writes, maybe you should say that this is dependent on this dispute between the Trumas HaDeshen and the Manas HaLevi. Now, by the way, I mentioned he was the son of the Chassam Sofer, so he's just following in his father's train of thought. His father, the Chassam Sofer, set up that there's a dispute between the Manas HaLevi and the Trumas HaDeshen. If you don't accept that in the first place, then the whole discussion doesn't start. But over here, the Ksav Sofer says, maybe according to the Trumas HaDeshen, that the whole objective of giving the Shalach Manos is simply that you should be able to provide someone with the Sudas Purim. As long as you left it by the door, even if they don't know who you are, it doesn't matter. Because now they're going to have food for the Sudas Purim. But if the whole objective is to be Mar B'Shalom and to show how good friends we are, if they don't know who you are, what does it help? Of course it's going to make them feel good, but what does it help? They don't know who you are, you didn't leave a note, you're not there, they're not answering the door. So maybe, he argues, maybe that shouldn't be something that would work at all. Again, what?
But on your end, you did do it. He doesn't know who it is, but you know you gave it to somebody.
So that's the question. If you take the Manas HaLevi at face value, and you assume, like the Chassam Sofer wrote, that this is something that is actually the objective of the mitzvah is only to be Mar B'Shalom, so the question is, did I really accomplish that or not? That's really tali on the Mekabo. That's not something that the no-sein is able to take care of.
Someone cares about me.
But again, Rav Asher Weiss would say, because there's really no dispute in the first place, and everyone agrees that the whole point of it is simply that you should make sure that somebody has Sudas Purim, so then there's nothing to talk about. And again, that leads to another issue, and that is an issue that the Chida and other Achronim discuss in the Birkei Yosef, and that is, sometimes, you know, we get Shalach Manos, some people from the White Shul who don't make it over here, you know, I don't expect anyone to give Shalach Manos, but some of them still send, but they send UPS. I always find it interesting. So sometimes it comes 3 days before Purim, sometimes it comes 3 days after Purim. And I always feel bad. He spent so much money sending this, you know, I don't know if they pay for some service to send it, whatever it might be, it's very nice of them. And usually it's nothing edible anyway, and usually it's just, you know, a whole bunch of tchotchkes put together that's all going to go in the garbage, so don't waste the time. If you're one of those people, just don't waste the time. It's fine. We don't need it. But anyway, it's very kind, but I get it. We love you. So the don't waste your money. It's just not worth it. So the Birkei Yosef, the Chida, talks about this issue when he says, what happens if you send Shalach Manos and it gets there before Purim? So that happens. Sometimes, you know, you're going to have a busy day and you're not going to be able to. So you go the day before Purim and you drop off Shalach Manos with someone who you know you're not going to get to. So the Chida discusses this issue and he wants to know, is it good enough if it gets there before Purim, but it's something they can put in the fridge and it's something that they can actually use during the Purim Suda. So he discusses the issue and he goes back and forth. And then he says, he also wants to tie it into this discussion between the Manos HaLevi and Trumas HaDeshen. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, Lo Yotza. Why? Why are you not Yotze? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, because one of the mitzvahs hayom, one of the mitzvahs, the same way if you would lay in the Megillah a week before Purim, it wouldn't work. So if you give Shalach Manos a week before Purim, it also doesn't work. That is not so simple. The Magen Avraham quotes in the Baal Amor, where he says, the Magen Avraham is in Siman Taf Reish Tadihei, where he says from the Baal Amor that you shouldn't give the Shalach Manos before Purim. Dilma Achlu Ezeh. Maybe they're going to eat it before Purim. Maybe they're going to eat it before Purim. What do you see from the Magen Avraham? It would seem that the Magen Avraham says, the only problem is it's not going to be around by the time Purim rolls in. So then, obviously, you're not mekayim the mitzvah of Shalach Manos, because the whole objective of Shalach Manos is that somebody should have something to eat on Purim. But if you have a person whose refrigerator is stocked anyway, and you know they're not starving all week long, and by the time Purim comes along, your Shalach Manos is still going to be there, it would seem that the Magen Avraham assumes that that is something that would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shalach Manos. And in fact, that is the way the Prima Gadim comes to that conclusion. And he says, yes, if somebody gives Shalach Manos, and he gives it before Purim, and it's going to be around after Purim, not after Purim, but when Purim actually comes, this is something that you don't have to be concerned about, and that is a good fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shalach Manos, which, by the way, is a very helpful thing to know about. I know every year, my in-laws always want to send Shalach Manos to my parents. My parents live in Washington Heights. My in-laws live in Lawrence. So what are you going to do? What? So how do you send it? With who? So it used to be when we were young, so they used to send it with me. We would go to my parents. Now it's too hard to go away to Purim. We stay local. So what do you do? So I always tell them, just send it before Purim. What's so hard? My parents always send it this way before Purim. So I assume if it's good enough for them, it should be good enough for any of us. So so my father always makes fun anyway that we're not Yotzei Shalach Manos in our house anyway because we give all this chocolate and junk and all this whatever, tchotchkes, and there's nothing actually in it that anyone would ever eat. So that's always my father's claim against the Shalach Manos. So anyway, this is an interesting issue. I think you've brought it a few times, no? You go to my parents on Purim, so maybe this year we'll make you the Shaliach again. But anyway, this is the discussion that the Achronim have about whether or not you're able to be Mekayim in the Mitzvah if you send the Shalach Manos before Purim, as long as the food is going to be around and edible. When Purim comes along, then the simple understanding is that you have been able to fulfill your Mitzvah in that way. However, the Aruch HaShulchan points out, if you sent it UPS and it got there after Purim, then certainly, according to everybody, you're not Yotzei any Mitzvah at all. That, for sure, would be the case, because then you didn't have anything available when Purim came around, and therefore the mitzvah of Shalach Manos, the fundamental part of Shalach Manos, certainly has not really been fulfilled at all. There is a discussion in the Achronim, why is it that we don't recite a bracha before doing the mitzvah of Shalach Manos? We do recite a bracha before we lay in the Megillah, so why don't we do a bracha before giving Shalach Manos? So some Achronim say the reason is because you have no idea if the guy's going to accept. And the same way, by giving tzedakah, we don't make a bracha because it's tali b'yad acherim. So to over here, we don't know whether or not the other person is going to accept. Other achronim say the reason why is because we make a bracha sha'as anisim labaseinu, and that's a bracha that we make before we do the Megillah. And therefore, that bracha really encompasses all the other mitzvahs hayom. Why? Because the whole reason why we have Shalach Manos, Sudas Purim, and Mikra Megillah is because there was a nace in the time of our forefathers, and therefore, to commemorate that great miracle, this is the way that we're going to commemorate it, by doing X, Y, and Z, by doing these kinds of mitzvahs. And therefore, they say, this is why we always make the announcement. Everybody should have in mind, for the mitzvahs hayom, before we make the bracha of Shas Anisim, when you go to shul on Purim morning, we say, have in mind, when you're hearing this bracha, that it should count on all the mitzvahs hayom that you're going to do that day as well. Don't forget, one of the important mitzvahs on Purim is that we should make sure that we learn on Purim as well. If you could just steal a few minutes to learn on Purim. Again, the Megillah says, Kimu v'kiblu, that there was a Kabbalah Satara on Purim, anew. This was a Kabbalah Satara that was almost similar to the Kabbalah Satara, almost greater than the Kabbalah Satara at Mamre Har Sinai. And therefore, Purim is a day when one is supposed to learn. The story goes that the father of the Ar Sameach apparently used to always make time on Purim to go ahead and learn. And there was a dream that he had on the night on Matzai Purim, on Shushan Purim. He had a dream that there was a moment of time on Purim where he was the only Jew in the entire world who was learning. Everybody else was so busy doing the Mitzvah Sayom and the Mikra Megillah and everything, and there was one moment of time on the course of, throughout the duration of Purim, 1 minute where he was the only Jew in the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid him back, and he said, I'm going to give you a son who's going to be lighting up the whole world the same way you lit up the world. And that's how the Ar Sameach was born. Apparently, that's the story. The Ar Sameach, Rameir Simcha from Divinsk, apparently that's what they say, that his father had that dream. It's a documented story. And his father said that there was 1 minute on Purim. So it's an important idea that when we get mixed up with all the mitzvahs that we're supposed to be doing, and it's important that we do all the mitzvahs, but it's also important that we make time to think about learning for a few minutes over the duration of Purim as well. Now, there is a discussion, and that is about somebody who sends, we said before, somebody who decides to send other things aside from food. So the Trumas Hadeshin writes, based on my understanding that a person is really supposed to be able to provide for the Purim Seuda, it would seem that sending other items like gifts or anything else that would make the person happy, although it's a nice thing to do, it is not really the mitzvah of Shalach Manos on Purim, and that really would not suffice to be Mekayim the mitzvah as it is supposed to be done. There is a question that unfortunately we are asked every year, and that is, how is an Avel supposed to act on Purim? What is an Avel supposed to do with regard to the mitzvah of Shalach Manos? So the Ramah in Yerodea, Simon Shin Peihei, in Hilchas Abelis, writes that an Avel is not allowed to accept Shalach Manos during the Yud Beis Chodesh on their parent. And he says, what is the reason for this? Because we know that an Avel is not allowed to give She'ela Shalom. We know that an Avel is really not supposed to be so, not friendly, but they're not supposed to greet other people. And therefore, the Avel, we assume, this is the greatest sign of She'ela Shalom. You go to your friend's house and you give Shalach Manos, or you accept from your friend and you have a whole exchange. So this is something that we're supposed to refrain from when a person is an Avelis. Again, they have an obligation of the Mitzvah Sayom, but it should be toned down. It shouldn't be done the way a person would normally do it. And this is something that one should be cognizant of if it is relevant to you. There is an interesting discussion.
How often is during the
Entire year bishodesh. Yeah, sounds like it, but yeah, interesting point. So there is an interesting discussion. What? So the avel is not supposed to receive. The avel should, I believe, give the bare minimum. He should give two shalach manas, but again, it shouldn't be overdone. So what I told someone this week is, this person has young children, and one of the parents happens to be an avel. So I said, if it's going to ruin the experience of Purim for your children, if you're not going to be involved in giving shalach manas and having a Purim suda and doing things the way things are supposed to be done in Purim, so then obviously it's no reason for your children to suffer. But as far as you're concerned, if let's say somebody's in, you know, not at the stage of life where they have young children that they need to entertain on Purim, whenever that happens, at some stage, I hope that's going to come. So the assumption is that in a person in that circumstance should tone it down during the year of Havelis. A very interesting discussion is, the Pasuk says when it gives us the obligation of giving Shalach Manos, it says, in Mishlach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. And some of the Achronim discuss the question about, what if I give Shalach Manos to my Rebbe, to my teacher, to my rabbi? Is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shalach Manos or not? Why not? Well, he's not Re'ehu. He's not my friend. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't like the rabbi, but it means that you shouldn't treat your teacher like Re'ehu. So I saw a very moving passage in the Aderis. Look at this over here on the bottom, number 10. The Aderis writes that one year he was stuck in Vilna for Purim. So he says, Ani amarti eftach pischa l'nafsha. He says, I was thinking about the following idea in my mind. Mashin istapakti li rabos b'shanim. He said, for many years I've been wondering this. Im yishlach ha-talmid de-rabo, im mekayim mitzvah mishlach manos. If a person sends shalach manos to their Rebbe, is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah of shalach manos or not? Because after all, it says, mishlach manos ish l're'ehu. And this is not my friend. This is my Rebbe. I should be in awe from this person. Writes the Aderis, Nisararti lazeh, bi yosi bivilna bepurim shnas tafrei shchafei. You do the math, whatever year that was. V'lo hayali makir zulas o'avi v'yedidi. I didn't know anybody in Vilna. I was traveling from one city to the next. I got stuck in Vilna. It happened to be Purim. And I only knew one person. Who did I know? My friend, Oz Hagon Hagadol HaTzadik Yisod Olam Harav Rabbi Tzal HaKoyin MiVilna. I had one friend in the neighborhood, and that was the great Tzadik Rabbi Tzal HaKoyin MiVilna. Everybody knew him. But he was the only person I knew. So I put together a Shalach Manas. I brought it to his house. So then he said, I wondered, am I really Yotz in the midst of Shalach Manas? And he says, V'nistapakti Imesh Lachlo Manas L'Kayim Mitzvah Sayom. Would it really work if I sent him Shalach Manos? After all, he says, Yareisi lihikari rea legadol ador kamo, va'ani ha'yisi ol yamin bimei ulami. What am I going to call the gadol ador re'ehu? This is my friend? How can I say such a thing? The Torah says, Mishlach Manos ish l're'ehu. I'm sorry, the Megillah writes, Mishlach Manos ish l're'ehu. What kind of re'ehu is that? You're not allowed to call your Rebbe re'ehu. So I thought it was a very interesting discussion. And the Adera said that it actually came up once in his life, and he wasn't sure whether or not he's able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah if he sends Shalach Manos only to his Rebbe, or perhaps that would not be a good enough fulfillment of the Mitzvah. Just one final point, and that is, when we talk about Shalach Manos, there is one more discussion. I'm sorry, there's a lot more to talk about, but the Mishneh Berurah has a dispute among the Achronim about whether or not if I give something that's raw and not yet cooked, can I fulfill the mitzvah of Shalach Manos or not? And the Meshech Chachma talks about it in Parshas Tetzaveh, actually. It's a very unlikely place for a discussion about Shalach Manos. But he says, based on a pasuk there in Parshas Tetzaveh, it says, V'haya lecha lemane. It says when Aaron HaKohen was supposed to bring some sort of carbon, it says, V'haya lecha lemane. And there the understanding Rashi says is, lemane means that it had to be ready-made, ready to be eaten. So the Meshech Chachma says, the same way that we say over there, V'hai l'cha l'maneh, mem nun hei, means that it had to be ready-made. So he says, Mishlach Manos also means that it has to be pre-cooked and ready to eat. So that's the feeling of the Meshech Chachma. You look there in Parshas Tetzaveh, as an interesting discussion. But the Prima Gadim writes in Hilchas Purim that he does not think that that is the case. And he says, even if it's not mevushal, but if it's something they can easily throw in the oven, and it's something they can easily eat, then obviously you're Mekayim the Mitzvah of Shalach Manos, and there's no problem at all. So the Mishneh Berurah quotes both opinions, and he says that it is a suffix in the Achronim. I think most would assume that that would not pose an issue at all. And Adarab, if I give someone something that's raw, and then they're going to throw in the oven, and it's going to taste amazing, and they'll eat it on Purim and really enjoy it, then obviously that really is the Iker Mitzvah of Shalach Manos. That's the best way to do it, and that would not pose a problem at all. So, but this is 2 days that I mentioned in the Mishneh Berurah, and it's something that the Mishneh Berurah writes is a discussion amongst the Achronim. I'm sorry, I just have to run out in a minute for Ma'ariv, but yeah. Yeah. A bunch of things, right. So.